If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Deborah Serrani is an expert on a variety of psychological issues. She's a share care expert for Dr. Oz. She writes for Psychology Today, among many other publications, and has worked as a technical advisor for the NBC television show Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And she's a licensed psychologist in practice for over 20 years. Her book is called Depression and Your Child, A Guide for Parents and Caregivers. It's published by Roman and Littlefield Publishing Group. Welcome to the show. At what age in a youngster's life, what's the earliest age that someone can experience depression?
Very good question. And believe it or not, we actually see depression in babies. So as young as just a couple of months old, we can start detecting this disorder.
A couple of months and you can detect that? How are you able to do that? That's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, up to 1 out of 40 babies, a study has shown that 1 out of 40 babies can develop the illness of depression. And the way that we see that, as we do in most children, is through a lot of behavioral symptoms. Depressed babies have poor eye tracking. Their reflexes are very slow. Their cries are not as robust. And, you know, these are babies who've been cleared and checked for any kind of medical reason. So, you know, they can kind of fall into a depressive state if perhaps their caregivers aren't attuned to their needs. And basically what we're really saying is that we're pre-wired genetically, many of us, for mood disorders. And it can be detected very young, and if we can interrupt the trajectory of the disorder, there's great room for healing and for a life of great hope.
That's excellent. And here is Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
Now, this started, Dr. Deborah, and we should say your website is Dr. Deborah Serrani, and let's spell that for people. It is D-R... Is there a punctuation with a period there?
No, just serrani.com.
So it's Dr. Deborah Serrani.com for
That's
the
right.
book Depression and Your Child.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I'd say to send us your email questions, and the best question would get a book. For some reason today, I cannot get my udocs@gmail system working, so I apologize for that. We won't be doing that, but we will. We have a couple questions that were emailed in advance. But I'm more interested in, you said as early as 2 months, how much do you think that depression is playing in the use of more drugs in children? I read an article recently that more than 10% of boys in grade school are now getting stimulants of one form or another to treat ADHD or ADD or behavioral problems. How much of that is acting out relating to depression? Is there any data we have on it, Deborah?
Well, I'm not very familiar with the component of ADHD and depression, but I will say that most kids who are taking any type of prescribed medication do run the risk for having a higher incidence of anxiety and depression. So it sounds like that study in a ballpark figure about 10% may be spot on in saying that we do see an uptick in kids who struggle with a secondary or a secondary issue in a mental health way, like with anxiety or depression.
And you list anxiety and depression together. Are they forms of the? Do they both have the same origination, or are they different? And in other words, are these really very different diseases, and we just link them because it's something that isn't normal mentally, or are they related to one another?
They do have different structures. Those of us who are hardwired for anxiety disorders, and there are those of us who are hardwired for mood disorders, but there is an interplay between the two. About 15 to 20% of those who have depression will also have an anxiety component. And similarly, those who struggle with depression can also have an anxiety component with it as well. So that's why a lot of the SSRIs and SSNIs kind of try to address both of those issues, but they are quite different in their genetic and neurobiological underpinnings.
Now, what is the usual age? I heard that you can diagnose this as early as 2 months. What's the usual age this comes to for, and how does it present? How should parents try and find out, hey, my child has a problem with this, and we can get help and help them? And I assume, and you're going to have to tell me this again, but is that right? The reason to intervene or the reason to make the diagnosis is intervening does make a difference in the child and family's life.
That's right. It does, Dr. Mike. I think most kids who get diagnosed with depression tend to be in their teenage years, but we do see a significant amount when they enter the standard school program. So about 4% of preschool-age children and 5% of school-age children meet the criteria for depression. So there are a number of ways for parents to keep an eye out for this, four very basic ways, which is to look at behavioral changes, physical changes, emotional changes, and cognitive changes. And I can elaborate on that if you like. And to make sure
let's go and talk first about the four ways. So physical changes, go ahead and let's go through the four different ways. And we may run into the break and come back, but it's such an important problem. That is, one of the questions we got was, how do I know if my child's depressed or acting out? Or is it just that my child wants to try drugs and that's why he's acting depressed or reticent or goes into his room when I don't give him permission?
Well, the answer to that question is duration. We want to see these consistently different kinds of behaviors at least 2 weeks in duration, not just here and there. And these four areas really break down quite nicely, which is any behavioral change that's sudden where your child is restless or withdraws or is clingy or isolates. And this isn't something that happens, you know, like I said, here and there. This is something that's almost predictable, almost a structured behavioral change that almost feels out of the ordinary for your child. And most children, unlike adults, present with a lot of physical symptoms of depression. They don't have the language skills to express their textures of their emotions. So sometimes we see kids with a lot of stomach aches, headaches, lethargy, fatigue. Sometimes they don't eat well, or they don't sleep well, or they're eating too much, or they're sleeping too much. So again, this physical change, you need to see it for a long duration. The emotional changes of sadness, loss of interest. Many kids report feeling bored. They don't really understand how to express that feeling. So they'll say things like, I just don't feel good, I'm bored, I'm tired. And then, of course, we look at cognitive changes, one of the most serious of all. This is when negative thinking comes into play. Kids will say that they're stupid or I'm not smart or you'd be better off without me. They have great difficulty focusing and concentrating. And this is because the neurobiology of depression has kind of seized their little bodies in these four particular areas.
Deborah, we're going to have to take a break now. And we're talking with Dr. Deborah Serrani. Dr. Deborah Serrani, depression and your child. Joe?
This is Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Deborah Serrani is a licensed psychologist in practice for over 20 years. She's also an adjunct professor at Adelphi University and author of the award-winning book, Living with Depression. Her latest book is called Depression and Your Child. It's a guide for parents and caregivers, and it's published by Roman and Littlefield Publishing Group. And let's go back now to Dr. Mike Roizen.
And where we were with Deborah was asking about the symptoms that parents have to figure out what is going on with the child, whether they have something. And first of all, Deborah, I skipped part of the question, which was, who do you take your child too, when they exhibit any of these behavioral or cognitive or physical or any of the other things you're going to get into. You started talking to us about cognitive problems as well as the physical problems. Physical was both stomach ache and physical in that way, as well as boredom and tiredness. But the email that came back on that was, who do I take the child to?
That's a great question. And the first stop always is to the child's pediatrician, because there are so many medical conditions that can look like depression. So we want to make sure that if parents see any of these behavioral symptoms, physical, et cetera, just call your pediatrician, say, I have some concerns, and together they'll do full exam, medical checkup, you know, urine and blood work, and just to make sure nothing medical is going on. And then from there, you'll get a referral to a mental health specialist who's hopefully in the area that you live in specializes in mood disorders, and then you'll get on your way.
So the first thing we had was the physical. What are the cognitive? We started in on cognitive. You said there were four areas that we're spotting, and the second one was cognitive. Tell us more about that.
Right. The cognitive changes are what we often see as negative self-talk in children. Children will say things like, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, it'd be better without me around, you shouldn't have had me. This is where guilt and shame kind of start really pressing on a child. And sometimes kids can have what we call a foggy kind of thinking, where the depression is so dulling to their ability to focus and work at school. So sometimes they can have learning problems. So, you know, depression affects a child's, you know, emotional level and physical level. And making sure we can get in there early can offset the trajectory of this illness.
Now, you said there were two other symptom complexes other than cognitive and physical. What are those?
There's behavioral changes where children will be very clingy, or they'll be just the opposite, very isolating, and they'll withdraw. They can be very restless. Some kids self-harm because they can't make sense of these feelings that they feel. And then there's emotional changes. This is the mood aspect of the depression, where kids lose interest, they can get bored, they can be sad. So it's these four areas that parents can keep an eye on. And the diagnosis needs to have at least 2 weeks of these set of behaviors going on. Because remember, you know, you can be sad and restless and bored, you know, a couple of days a week. That's part of the human experience. But when something is of long duration, that generally means that there's some type of underlying issue going on.
Now, most children don't admit, I assume, don't admit suicide thoughts.
That's right.
Or do they? They would act it out before they'd admit they were having suicidal thoughts. What do you do, or is there, are these four things strong enough to spot this beforehand? But suicide is still a major problem in kids and teenagers. Is that right?
That's true. It's the third leading cause of death in adolescence, and it's a preventable death. Most children will have what's called a masked depression. They hide behind the terrible negativity and sadness that they feel, and they present outwardly almost as if everything is fine. Those are very tough cases to spot. But when children start to use this negative talk, when you hear them saying, you know, I'm stupid, I'm bad, you'd be better off without me, there are some signs. If you see children giving toys away you know, perhaps cleaning their rooms or making sure everything is in order because they're not planning to be here anymore, there are signs and symptoms that parents can be aware of. And it's any time a parent can feel any sense of worry, they should go to the pediatrician and ask questions. The pediatrician is a great first stop for a lot of these things.
And the one of the persons actually beforehand was saying, what happened to my pediatrician? And this is that question I got before we were on the air, is my pediatrician doesn't seem to think it's anything and has just given my son a stimulant. What about these recent episodes in both California and in Connecticut of the child who was under some form of mental health therapy and then did harm to, in one case, an 87-year-old woman in a nursing home, in another case, this girl who was turned him down to go to the prom. Are these likely related to it, or what do we do about that?
Well, I think it's very important for any listener out there, any concerned parent, to understand that 1% of those who have mental illness are the news grabbers, the headline grabbers. 99% of children and adults who live with a mental illness never are violent. In fact, they can lead very healthy, meaningful lives. These cases generally have multi-determining factors. It may be a combination of misuse of stimulant or antidepressant meds, poor follow-through with treatment. You know, there are generally a lot of gaps that cause these kinds of terrible news lines.
And So it's a small number, but obviously they grab a lot of attention in the news. Do you think this is becoming more common, or is it just more commonly diagnosed? That is, did we have this all of the century, and we just are waking up to it, or we're going to have you do a 30-second answer to that, Deborah?
Actually, we're seeing a rise in a lot of mental health issues. They double about every 10 years.
Joe?
That's Dr. Deborah Serrani, our guest in this segment. Thanks for listening. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.